If you would please open your Bibles to Psalm 119, Psalm 119 this morning. While you open the Bible of Psalm 119, I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to be in this school and be trained in this school, a school that stands on the Word of God. And the first thing that I was amazed here was when I heard Dr. Comfort preached and how much he uses the Word of God. And this morning is my subject to speak about the Word of God. I believe if we were to speak the language of God, we must speak the language which is the Word of God. As you already heard, Brother Jack Slough is here, and it was a big surprise for me this morning to meet him. I didn't know he was going to come here, and I didn't know that he's going to come and hear me preach, but it was a big surprise. And as you heard from him, I've been in a school in Norway that doesn't stand on the Word of God, and it was a struggle, and it was a big pain to be in that school, but I praise the Lord once again for allowing me to be in this school, which stands on the Word of God, and I pray that God will raise many schools in Romania like this school. It is important when you learn a new language to know the words. God has given us the words so we can communicate by them. If we don't know the word, we cannot communicate in that language. When I went to Norway, I didn't know Norwegian. I only knew maybe about 200 English words, and I had to learn that language. And I had, in order for me to speak that language, I had to learn the words. And sometimes learning the words is not an easy task. When I came to this country, the United States, I had to learn English. I knew more Norwegian when I came here than I knew English. I already forgot what I already knew, the 200 words or 300 words that I knew when I left. And sometimes it gets you in trouble. I remember dating my wife, and one day at the kitchen, at the table, I said, "Would you like a snake?" And she said, "What? A snake? Oh, I mean snack. Would you like a snack?" You see, it gets you in trouble. Just a little bit of twist in the word, and it will get you in trouble. People used to ask me when I came here, "Where are you working? Kitchen or chicken?" And I used to say, "I work in chicken." "So what? Where are you working?" "Well, chicken." "Are you sure?" They didn't laugh. They didn't want to embarrass me. No, I said, "I think it's, what is the kitchen?" "Oh, yeah, I work in a kitchen." So if you don't know the words, even if you know the words, if you don't know the right words, it will get you in trouble. As you have your Bible open, Psalm 119, we'll look at three verses this morning. Verse 9, 10, and 11. The Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, unto your word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against you." For we as a believers, in order to speak the language of God, we must speak the language of the Word. Because the Word itself is God. We'll look this morning at three things from this passage. Number one, the greatest treasure. Number two, the greatest place to put this treasure. And number three, the greatest reason why we should put this treasure in that place. As we look at the greatest treasure, we look in verse 11, the first two words, the Bible says, it is thy word. It showed me that this word is not coming from man. It is the word that comes from God. In Psalm 68, verse 11, the Bible says, and the Lord gave his word, and great was the company of those that published it. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John 17, in verse 14, he said, and I gave them thy word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. It came from God, and it is his word. And it's very important to realize it's from God because it does matter. When I was in the army in Romania, we had to do 1 year of duty. And it was important for me to know where the orders come from. Sometimes we'll play jokes around among ourselves, and somebody will come to me and say, the boss, the the captain said for you to do this and this, to wash the corridor maybe, or to do your bed better. But the order didn't come from him. He just wanted to make a joke. But if I knew that the order came from the captain, then I'll be straight on my foot and ready to go. It was important where the words came from. What was the source of them? And as we look at the Word of God, we realize that the Word of God is not coming from man. It is the Word of the living God. Its source is God. Its source is God Himself. It is a very important Word because it comes from God. But not only that, as I study this passage, I realize that the Word of God is many, many times the same. When the Bible speaks about the Word of God, it speaks in the same line, in the same verse about Jesus Himself and God Himself. You cannot divorce the Word of God from God Himself. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Revelations 19, verse 13, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is the Word of God. The Word of God is God Himself. And He has given us His Word. But not only that, it is an eternal Word. It will last forever. Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of the Lord shall stand forever. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Mark 13:37, Jesus Himself said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away. John 10:35, the Bible says, if He called them gods unto whom the Word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken. It is an eternal Word. It will last forever. And the author of the hymn put it well this way, the Bible stands like a rock undoubted, mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, who for me stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible will stand forever. When man will pass away, generations will pass away, the Word of God will still stand. And by the way, there is only two things that will stand forever. It is the Word of God and the soul of man. There is nothing else that will last forever. My question is, how do you look at His Word this morning? How do you treat His Word this morning? Is it precious to you? As I drove this week home Tuesday, it takes me about an hour to drive home, and I turned on to the radio, and I heard this reporter, and he was so excited because he had the privilege of going into Guantanamo Bay prison. And as he was going into, he had a chance to meet inmates, and most of them were from Muslim countries. And as he got to talk to these people, and he had a piece of paper, and some of them wanted to influence him and gave him some words from the Quran. And as he was reading these words on the piece of paper, by the time he had to leave, one of the inmates, when he was leaving the prison, one of the inmates came to him and said, sir, I have one question, if you can do me one favor. And he said, what? He said, would you please, when you go out, on that piece of paper that you wrote the Quran, please don't put it down on the ground, because I don't want it to touch the ground. It's the Holy Quran. If they had if they considered the Quran so holy, as I listened to that reporter, I thought to myself, how much more do I should consider the Word of God? It is the Holy Word. Psalm 119:140. Thy Word is a pure Word. Therefore Thy servant loves it. Psalm 119:172. My tongue shall speak of Thy Word, for all Thy commandments are righteous. Proverbs 30 verse 5. Every word of God is pure. It is a shield unto all them that trust in Him. When my wife goes home in the evening, and before she goes to bed, she has some jewelry. I don't know how much value might be in them. I don't think it's a lot of value, but she has some jewelry, and when she goes to bed, she takes them out, and she just doesn't put them in any place. She put them in a special box that she had. And in the same way, because it's our treasure, we look at the second, the greatest place to put this treasure. And the verse 11 goes on and saying, I have hid your word in mine heart. In my heart. We learned Monday, I think, Brother Cummings spoke of our heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who knows it? Proverbs 28:26, he that trusted in his heart is a full man. And because of this, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's very important. Not only because out of it the issues of life, but I believe the heart is important to God because that's the place where God connects with man. That's the place where God wants to connect with everyone, with his children. It is the heart. Proverbs 23:26, he himself says, my son, give me thine heart. That's what God is interested in. And not only that, he himself tells us that we should store his word in our hearts. Deuteronomy 6:6, and these words which I command unto you this day shall be in thine heart. Job 22:22, the Bible says, receive, I pray, the words, the law from his mouth, and store up his words into thine heart. Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. God asks us and commands us to keep his word in our hearts. So much in our day we have a lot of Bible knowledge, head knowledge, I mean. And it's not bad to have a head knowledge, but it's not only that we should have a head knowledge, we should have a heart knowledge. And I believe one of the ways to get the heart knowledge, the head knowledge to the heart knowledge is by storing God's words in our hearts, memorizing the word of God. I read in one article in the Charlotte Observer not too long ago, maybe a couple of months ago or maybe more, I don't remember exact, but they had an article about this school in New Jersey. And this school is for young boys and girls, and it's based on a Muslim faith. And they go in this school, and they are required to learn all the Quran. And from 14, 15, 16 years, boys and girls come out, and they know the whole Quran. And I believe that the Quran is bigger than the New Testament. And they are required to learn the Quran because they put so much price on the Quran. And one of the boys was interviewed in that article, and he said, and the reporter asked, how much time you spend on repeating and reviewing the Quran after you learn it? He said, about 4 hours a day. And he said, why do you consider it so important? We consider it important because our prophet, Allah, told us that the word, his word, should be in our hearts and not in our heads. How much more should we learn from God himself that we should put his word in our hearts, not only in our heads? We have so much head knowledge. The question is, how much do we spend to store the word of God in our hearts? It is the best place to put the word of God. You will have it all the time. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from thy heart, from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is therein. For then thou shalt have success, and thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Psalm 1:1-2. Delight thyself, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor walketh in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. I believe that memorization and meditation will bring sanctification to our lives. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We have a great treasure, the word of God. What do we do with it? Where do we store it? Thy word have I hid in mine heart. But why, David? The greatest reason. Not so that I can show off how much I know. Not so that I can go around and quote the Bible to everybody that I meet. But the greatest reason why I do that, David said, is that I might not sin against thee. It is the greatest purpose for us to put the word of God so that we may not sin. It will keep us from sinning along to God. The Bible says, Romans 5:12, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. we have a great problem, and the greatest problem is the problem of sin. We remember David. You remember David? And we read about David in 1 Samuel 16. And we have the story of David when he was anointed as king. As Samuel went to his parents' house, we all know the story. As Samuel looked at all Jesse's sons, and he had seven that he was parading before Samuel. And Samuel looked at every one of them and said, "Well, I think this is tall and handsome. I think God might choose this." He didn't know which one will be. And as every one of those seven passed by Samuel, the Lord tells Samuel, "It's not any one of those." And then, you know, the Samuel asked Jesse, "Do you have other sons?" And he said, "Yeah, I have one that he is with the sheep outside." And he said, "Bring him in." And Samuel had to realize that day one secret and one truth that we must all remember. In verse 7 in 1 Samuel 16, "Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And he still looks today. What does he see there in your life this morning? Does he see any love for him or for his word? Remember, if you love his word, you love him. If you love him, you love his word. I read a story, a true story, about a brother that was put in prison in Russia. And as he was put in prison, he had the book of Psalms. That all he could have with him in a prison. He, among the choices, they only gave him one choice, and he said, "I want the book of Psalms." And he was there for about 20 years. And during this time, he had the book of Psalms, and he memorized the book of Psalms, and he read through the book of Psalms. And he said, "That's the only thing that kept me sane in that prison." But as he was coming out to the time to be freed from the prison, the guards knew that he was a Christian, and he loved that book that he had. And the day when he was about to be freed, he stepped out, and he was barefoot. He only had bare clothes on him, and it was 2 feet of snow on the ground. And it was a winter, a very cold winter. And he stepped out in the court of the prison with his book of Psalms in his hand. The prison guards were all circling him. He had only a few steps to get out of prison in freedom. And he held his book to his chest very dearly and very strong. And they all, in mocking him, tried to get the book from him. They tried to steal the book from him, to try to get it away. And as they did that, the book fell on the ground on the snow. And when this brother saw the book on the snow, he jumped over the book. And they didn't want them to take the book from him. He jumped over the book and he said, "This is a precious book. This is the all thing for my life that's the most precious is this book that I have. Please don't take it from me. That's the only thing I have when I get out." Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how do I love thy law? It is my meditation all the day long." This brother loved the word of God. He didn't want anybody to take it from him. Psalm 119:163, "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." Do we love the word of God? There are many people today that paid a great price to have the word of God and to live by the word of God and to read the word of God. In Revelation 6:9, John looks and he said, "And when he opened the fifth seal, I looked under the altar and saw the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." There are still people who are suffering, and there will be people who will pay a price for the word of God. And as I remember in many of my classes, I remember Dr. Charles many times. He had only one word in his classes, and everybody knows it is, "Preach the word. Preach the word." As those who are called of God to go out for God, we must remember one thing. In order for us to preach, we must preach the word. It's the language of heaven. God has given us his word. It's our treasure. And we must store it in our hearts if we consider it to be a treasure. Because one reason, so we might not sin against God. Preach the word, live the word, and then tell the word. May the Lord help us. Amen.